I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Fish Cakes, EB, and JP. Just a reminder, tonight you can join us on Facebook Live at 7 o'clock as we get geared up for the Monday Night Football matchup between Washington and Seattle. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TheJunks. So we'll be chopping it up at 7 p.m. Right now, we are talking about the matchup, and in particular, what are your expectations for Taylor Heinicke and this offense tonight as they get Logan Thomas back? Should help in the red zone and potentially Curtis Samuel back. I think it's hard to even say that, but likely, it seems like he's going to play.
It's likely that both will be back, according to reports.
Yeah. And we just haven't really gotten to see him. The expectations for Curtis Samuel before the season were he was going to be the number two receiver, yep. But also that we saw him being one of those guys who, like a Debo Samuel,
yeah, he's a hybrid guy. Yep.
San Francisco would get carries.
Mm-hmm. I think They'd Samuel last around. Year, I think in Carolina, he had like 35 or 40 carries, maybe upwards of that. Yeah, you like to see guys who are mismatches for the defense that the defense is going to trot out there. And that's what you thought you were getting with Samuel.
Well, Samuel,
last time I remember seeing him was in the Falcons game.
I didn't think you'd see him the rest of the year, but obviously looks like I'm going to be wrong.
Well, who knows?
You hope to see him.
Might see him for 15 plays. They're not going to play. They know they made a mistake playing him more than they wanted to when he first came back.
Well, it kind of all depends on how he feels, too. If he feels pretty good.
I'm sure, but he probably felt pretty good. That's why they kept getting more plays. And then, you know, he played two plays the next, and then they pulled him.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phone.
So they're going to be overly cautious.
800-636-1067 if you want to jump in on the conversation. Who's up?
All right. Let's go to Nate in Arlington. I think I have the same sentiment as you here, Nate. Nate, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Nate?
Hey, EB. So I was born in 1992, and I've been a lifelong fan. And basically, it's like that girl that, you know, has always been out of your league, and you're kind of in the friend zone, and we've never succeeded. So I'm going to the game tonight, and I know we're going to lose.
You're expecting disaster.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm expecting it because that's all I've ever felt.
You're conditioned.
So, man, what a broken down fan.
I feel the same way.
I am. I'm going to go freeze my beanbags off, and I'm going to watch this. You know, I'm happy with the way Taylor's played. I'm happy with our front center. John Allen, Daron Payne, they're awesome. Our corners last week played well. Obviously Terry is a beast, but I don't know. It just never works out.
You're expecting disaster because that's what happens with this team typically when you get your hopes up. They'll throw in the occasional beat Tampa or they'll beat Green Bay. Yep. Like they'll just pull some rabbit out of their ass.
Pittsburgh last year when Pittsburgh was 11-0.
But then if you need them to beat a team that's reeling, a team that's playing awful, a team whose quarterback is coming off an injury and looks dreadful, this is when you get stung. This is when we get stung. Yeah.
So I'll be at the game and
Yeah, I know. Call back tomorrow. Yeah. Hopefully you're wrong.
All right, thanks.
As you mentioned, he better dress warm because by the time the game's over, it's gonna be like 33 degrees.
It's gonna be cold. Tonight.
Is that what they're saying?
Oh, it's gonna be cold.
Yeah, it's gonna. The game's gonna be over.
Also gonna be kind of windy too. It's just not gonna be fun to be sitting in the seats.
I was thinking about doing our Facebook Live out by the fire tonight.
Well, if you got the fire next to you, it's not as cold.
Now, by the time game time rolls around, the winds are dying down, according to my very detailed research on the weather.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what that means? That means it's good to go around the neighborhood and pillage all the fallen branches.
Okay, well, if you say so, yes. I'll have to believe you.
All right, let's go to Bill in Bowie. Bill, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Thank
you
for
my call.
How are you?
Hey, listen to Jinx Taylor. I think he's going to put on a show tonight and win for us. I think the win is there. And the guy that just called in, he's wrong. We're not going to lose. We're going to win, and Taylor's going to put on a show, and he's going to sign a big contract from thereafter.
And
thanks for calling.
They have him under contract, though, right?
They have for one more year.
Yeah, they do for another year, but I think they'll extend him.
Well, they might. Listen, I know this would upset people, but nothing would please me greater than for Taylor to ball out down the last, seven games. Let's say he plays very, very well, like five or six of the last seven games, and they decide this is our guy. Like, he kind of proves. He's going to please me greatly. I think a lot of the fan base would be upset because they want some big-armed model GQ guy that's, the top of the draft.
It's always better if you don't have to press the reset button if you feel like you have a guy in-house.
Yeah.
Especially at a cheap salary for one more year.
That'd be amazing.
That would be great.
I think he'll be back for at least next year.
Oh, yeah.
He could be the bridge guy. I still think they're going to draft somebody, but maybe if he plays like he's played the last 2 weeks for the next six, maybe he convinces them.
Right. But that's what's really hard to do.
That's going to be
a tall
task.
That's really, really hard. I'm just asking him to do it right now for three games in a row.
Right.
Can you do it for three games in a row against a team that's really...
Correct.
If you can't, it's it's not good.
Now, if he balls out and they somehow win the division, which I know it's a long stretch right now, but if they win the division, then that's when you're talking about, all right, he could be the guy.
Then he's the odds-on leader for being starter for 2022.
It would just be cruel to pull it from
him. Let me go with this guy. Something out. Is that cool?
Let's go to Scott in Baltimore. Scott, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Junks, how y'all doing today? Scott and daughter Nancy Jane. She just went down for a nap.
Yep.
Going down with dad tonight. 75 years old, die hard. We got grilled oysters. I got some things to talk about Heinicke, though. I think, I watched Baker last night, and I know he's banged up, and they're without Odell. I forgot what the other good receiver's name is. But it's like, if Tyler was a high draft pick, I think this is his 12th start tonight. So, Scott Turner, as I've been saying to you guys, he's calling a better game. But I think the biggest thing is throw on first down and then run. And I have a question for the Drab Hawk, man. And then I have one thought on Heinicke, then I'll ask about the Drab Hawk. How many running yards does the Seattle give up? And then did you know, I know he doesn't have a huge arm, Heinicke, but he leads the NFL per Pro Football Focus with seven touchdowns over 20 yards.
That's a good stat.
Good feather in this cap.
That is a good stat.
I think Seattle allows around 120 rushing yards per game, but I can look that up just to make sure.
Do you feel like when you're watching the Seahawks draft that they get gouged with teams running on them, or no? Just average?
Just average. I think it piles up. Their passing defense has been their Achilles heel.
Well, Cakes, I like your weather forecast. Now, we'll have the grill, so it'll be a chilly. But, it's like anything. You double Under Armour, you put on all your stuff, and I feel bad for the guy in 92. I was born in 75, so I saw three Super Bowls. So I just think with Ron Rivera, guys, I know what the Monday night is. I was there for the Philadelphia game. We don't want to go back to all these horror stories. I just think it's a different team. 31-17, I think Gibby has a huge game. I know.
Be amazing.
And JP, need I say, you sound a little positive. But anyway, love you
guys. Hey, hold on. Scott.
By the way, the Seahawks ranked 23rd in the league against the run.
Yeah. Scott, what's the tailgate scene been like? My understanding is it's just not been good at all the last few years.
Well, it's interesting. Great question, EB. When you pull up, if you remember the day on Arena Drive, like from the woods in, like, was crazy. We're green. I used to have the orange hookup with a little old school political connection, but we like the green F-52. Give a shout out to F-52. We're always there, diehards. That way you get out. We actually get back to north of Baltimore in an hour. That's my dad and I have it down to religion. But to your point, EB, it's weird sometimes. You know, I think they need a winner. Sometimes you look and it's like an old Western, like, or something movie. Like, it's like you look to the right and left and it's an hour and a half before game time, 2 hours, and it's so barren.
And nobody's tailgating?
No, there's tons of people tailgating. I mean, you have to see, there's tons. It's just not the old days. I had to, like, literally ward off and, like, fight people and box people out.
It's spread out.
Even, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Very spread out.
Yeah. Well,
no lines to the porta potties.
Also, there are 80,000 plus going to the games.
I know.
That's ancient history.
But isn't it so depressing that it's not like you want it to be?
They got to win.
I think when you, I think we talked about this too. Unfortunately, we're not a front runner. But again, of course, I'll give you another thought. I think if Heineke's playing for the Browns last night, I think they beat the Ravens. I think Heineke is talented enough to lead teams. But no, it's not. I think if you're a true diehard, and then what we all want, it's what Doc Walker talks about. This is a December game. We have a very meaningful primetime December game, right? So I think you're gonna have a better crowd tonight. The New England crowd was, sorry, New England's Brady. The Bucks crowd was awesome. I think there's some with the name leaving. You know, hail to the Washington Redskins football team or whatever. But I think you have 10. My gut is you have 10,000 people. My dad thinks that left because of that. And then I think you need a winner, right?
Yeah, you definitely need a winner. All right, thank you, Scott. Thank you, buddy.
To his point though about Baker being the number one pick, I'll say this: I'm kind of a Baker mark. Now I don't think he's going to be a great player. I don't think guys are getting open for him now. Like, I think they miss speedy receivers. It's why they go with three tight ends. There wasn't much separation. If you watch that game, and Valdez, you can speak on this, it looked like there was really good coverage by the Ravens. Like, everyone, it's not like he was throwing, he might have had one bad throw early on, but it wasn't like there were terrible throws. It was mostly guys were covered.
I thought that whenever they did play action, there was a lot of separation.
Okay, maybe.
Well, he's also.
Well,
he didn't get zero completions.
But remember what they were saying after last year. I mean, he had a good year last year,
mm-hmm.
And the team had a good season. So everyone felt a little bit differently about him coming into this year. And like you said, they didn't have all their receivers healthy. They lose Beckham to the trade. Chubb gets hurt for a few games.
Well, he's also in a very run
heavy. And he gets hurt.
He's in a very run heavy scheme where he's not the priority. Priority is getting the ball to Chubb and Hunt when those guys are healthy.
Yeah, I know, but the priority
he's almost like an afterthought in that offense.
It is, but when you draft a guy number one overall, he should be the priority.
But I do think what he said, though, if Heineke had that high draft choice, you'd perceive him differently.
Totally.
People hold his past against him. The fact that he went to a small school, the fact that he used to get beat up all the time.
As soon as he struggles tonight, we will go back tomorrow and say it's because he's an undrafted guy, though, you know, as soon as he struggles. And if he does well, you just say, oh, well, anybody can have a good game. That's why the key is, can he do it? Now, can he string together a few of them?
Consistency.
He's definitely played much better the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. All right, coming up a little bit later this hour, we have our Monday Night Parlay. Can this be the one that we hit?
Maybe.
We were off to a good start on Friday. It didn't come through, but we're back at it coming up at 9:45. Right now, though, going to hook up the 10th caller at 800-636-1067 with two tickets to the Washington Capitals game against the Anaheim Ducks at Capital One Arena. That's coming up Monday, December 6th, 7 p.m. You can see Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals all season at Capital One Arena. Single game tickets, group tickets, and partial plans, all on sale. For more info on how to purchase tickets, visit washcaps.com/tickets. Listen to the Caps all this season on 106.7 The Fan, of course. They've got 33 points. That is best in the NHL. 800-636-1067. 10th caller will hook you with those tickets. Coming up next, Bears Valuga from the Washington Post here on the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Talking a lot of Washington football today on a burgundy and gold game day. Right here on The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, your clear home improvement choice. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. All right, join us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It is our pal, Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. And before we get into the Washington football team matchup, why don't we touch on Max Scherzer first? What do you make of Max to the Mets?
So I'm told it's not done yet. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it won't be done. And I'm told that the two LA teams are still in it. Now, okay. With Scott Boras clients, you often hear of like late competition. Mm-hmm. At the end, is that real? Is that posturing? Who knows? But those three teams, the Mets to me last week would have been the most surprising. I think the Angels and the Dodgers always made some sense. The Angels, given the superstars that they have, need to get some pitching to finally make Mike Trout's career make some sort of sense. The Dodgers obviously try to win every single year. But Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, is taking big swings. I mean, he is very invested in making that team a contender. He's been a fan his whole life, and he doesn't want to sit back and watch other teams from the NL East win the World Series as the Nats did in 19 and the Braves did this year. So it would be really, really odd to see Max Scherzer in that Mets blue and orange at Nats Park to face the Nationals. No, that's for sure.
I totally agree. And to your point, wasn't last year when they unloaded Trey, who was a surprise, and Max, wasn't it sort of assumed there at the last second it was going to be San Diego? And then the Dodgers came out of nowhere? Or no, am I misremembering that?
No, I think you're remembering it correctly. I mean, everybody inside kind of thought that the Padres had it loaded up. Now, you got to remember, this has been suggested to me over the course of the winter, and I don't know mm-hmm. whether this is true, but this is could be. It's a pretty good theory. I mean, Max got to choose essentially who he would accept a trade to, and he might have said, I don't like the feel of that San Diego team. I think the Dodgers have a better chance to win it all and could have had the power to engineer it to LA.
Gotcha.
And then that made it necessary to include Trey to get the two big prospects back. But again, that's kind of a pet theory that was suggested to me. That's not fact.
So do you expect, I would expect this to be finalized pretty soon. Do you expect this to come down today, or do you think it might take a couple of days?
No. It sounds like it's gonna happen today. I mean, that would be my expectation. And keep in mind, guys, you know, the lockout is coming
Can you explain that
on December 1st?
That was my question. So, like, why I always forget the semantics of lockout versus strike versus all that stuff. Can you explain it?
So the basically a lockout is the owners saying, you guys can't come to work. So if that were during the season, if this were in spring training, it would be the owners saying these facilities are our property. You guys can't use them to work out. We're preventing you for this. It's a work stoppage that is started by the owners. Now it's in the winter. It's semantics because no one will consider this a work stoppage if it doesn't affect spring training or regular season games. I think it'll be. I mean, it's very real. The tensions are very real in these negotiations, and it's. Two sides, as I've said many times, that have kind of a genuine distrust in each other. I do think they both understand the stakes here, though, and I don't know, maybe I'm being naively optimistic. I would hope that spring training goes off as planned and the season goes off as planned because the sport's in too fragile a position to create bitterness among fans.
Yeah, Barry, I agree. I mean, did they not see the World Series ratings? Did they not dig 50 feet under the surface of the earth to see how low those ratings have sunk?
Right. And that's, I mean, I do think that there's a way for baseball to have low World Series ratings, but be a healthy sport because in 30 markets, you can have a really invested fan bases in your local team. It's a little more like hockey where, you know, I think you and I, we can discuss the Capitals and who's on what line and who should be in net and all that kind of stuff. But take me to the Vancouver Canucks and the LA Kings, and I'm out of my depth, right? Like, it's not like we don't have an understanding of that sport the way we do the NFL and even the NBA to a degree. Baseball's a little bit more like that. If you can be, you know, the Nationals can draw 28 to 30,000 people a game and everybody knows what the lineup issues are and everybody's watching every night. You can be healthy locally and have kind of lousy World Series ratings.
All right, so let's get to the game tonight. Huge game. I see you've written a couple columns here about this team lately. And I admit as a fan, I am starting to check the standings a little bit, especially as Dallas struggled and Minnesota losing yesterday, right?
Philly losing.
You know, it's just kind of things seem to be playing out in their favor, but Barry, I am actually a fan. I'm not just a guy here that's just a jerk. I'm a fan, and I've been burned so many times by this team. We're playing a team that's reeling right now, and we're playing well, and I'm still just convinced we're going to lose because it's on Monday night. It's just too good to be true. Good things don't happen to us here in D.C. anymore, especially if you're a Washington fan. I don't know. Am I being paranoid?
No, I mean, I think that's learned conditioned behavior over two decades. Like you'd be foolish almost to play the other way. Now I do, you know, I do think, I mean, the Monday night thing is, you know, we can talk about it. It doesn't feel real. Even though, you know, I've sat there through that Eagles debacle and all these things that have happened over the years. I mean, I don't think it should amount to anything. But, you know, it's another point of discussion because it makes people miserable because they have to relive all that stuff that's happened over 20 years and all those low points. I will say the thing that the Tampa game and the Carolina game provide is a blueprint of how this team can win football games. And that is taking care of the ball, Heinicke taking care of the ball, no picks in those two games. And running the football, it doesn't have to be, you know, for 5 yards a pop, but they get those carries, they extend drives that way. And then the defense, it doesn't have to be that kind of top five, like dominant unit that we might have thought it would have been in, you know, when we were talking about the team in August, but it has to get off the field on third down with some regularity. It has to force some turnovers. And you know, there's that time of possession imbalance in these two games that I think is, you know, emblematic of how this team can win games going forward. Does that mean they're going to run the table? No, of course not. But it's a winnable game tonight. I mean, it just, that team, you're right, is going the wrong direction. And it feels like, you know, if Washington comes out and plays a solid game and beats Seattle on this Monday night, that might be an unraveling of a core of a franchise on the other side with that coach and that quarterback, and can they stay together? So super fascinating game where, like, 2 weeks ago I would have thought, whoa, this could be a total Monday night dud, but now there's a lot at stake.
Yeah, what's your vibe on the game?
You know, I hate to get sucked in, but I kind of feel like Washington is playing better football than Seattle right now.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt about
that. You know, I mean, it's just Seattle's offense has been such a mess, and this defense has kind of gotten itself together. And again, like, I don't want to be, like, week to week on Taylor Heineke, but if he takes care of the ball, he's good enough to sustain drives. And also, I think you guys have talked about this too. I think getting away from that game manager comment, and which is kind of a flippant thing. I get it. Like, the guy doesn't have all the ability in the world. You want him to do the right things and take care of the game. But he's also got a dimension with his legs that on those off schedule plays, and that fourth down play that went to Bates, tight end against Carolina, that was just kind of, well, this thing broke down, I'm going to make something happen, and he did. That's a part of who he is, and it's a reason why you think, okay, if he doesn't do the silly things, which is, you know, ill-advised passes that get picked off, and I think trying to keep plays alive that makes sacks worse, like, instead of throwing it away and getting back to the line of scrimmage, you know, backpedaling and taking a 12-yard loss, if he eliminates those from his game, then he's a serviceable and more than serviceable guy. So I don't know. I'm not saying this team is good or great or anything like that, but I think things are kind of trending in the direction that you want to see it. There's been progress where a month ago, you know, my hands were up in the air saying, well, you're not even striding in the right direction. Like, where are we going? I think there's a much more of an identity now. Right. And I just feel like they're the better team tonight. We'll see.
I hope you're right. What about the defensive issue and the Chase story? That's been so fascinating. A guy who appears to have all of the talent in the world, you know, just not really making the kind of impactful plays, you know, play after play, game after game that we expected. Then he, of course, gets hurt. But it kind of is also simultaneous with the defense playing a little bit better each week. You know, I don't know. It's just the whole thing's sort of bizarre. You know, the way the defense has performed, you know, below our expectation, but now they're starting to get a little bit better. And the Chase thing is just a real enigma for me.
Yeah, and Sweat not in there too, yeah. as they haven't played they played better these two games. So, I mean, I've heard you guys discuss this before too, yeah. I think there's something to it that, like, before the week before Chase got hurt, with coming out of the bye week, you know, Ron Rivera was, you know, pretty pointed in his criticism of, hey, I've gone over all his plays from last year. I've talked to Chase about this. And it seemed like he was getting across the message that this guy is not taking coaching right now. He's got to listen to us, because all the ability that he has at the NFL level, you can't just win by being better physically than a guy. You've got to learn techniques, and you've got to learn different moves, and you've got to, you know, learn how to fit into – he definitely was talking about fitting into kind of a team defensive scheme, and it made it sound like this guy's just improvising. He's out to make the big play, and there were times when he just would, you know, on a third down, he'd tee up and he'd run kind of almost past the tackle and past the quarterback and make no impact on the play at all. So
yeah.
If you take that kind of talk and then say, okay, for 2 weeks – with James Smith Williams and you know, others, they're getting a little bit more pressure. They're playing better. Well, you could extrapolate, like, okay, now we've got guys in there with less ability, but they're taking coaching and they're doing
team concept. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, do I know that for sure? No, but it does make some sense that, what we're seeing with results and we know what the personnel is in there, that maybe the guys that are on the field now are fitting better into the team concept, and Chase and Sweat on the outside could look at that and say, like, well, we should probably do that too, and with our ability, we'll be even better when we get back. We'll see.
Do you see red flags too with some of the comments that Chase was making? I hate to beat up on a 21, 22-year-old kid. We all say dumb things. I'm 51. I say dumb things all the time. But there was a little RG3-ism in some of these things, you know, like what criticism? It doesn't faze me. It's just a job. You know what I mean? Like some of that stuff was a little red flag-ish for me.
I can maybe give him the benefit of the doubt that there's a lot of frustration in being out for the year. And you know, we think of these guys like, okay, he blows out a knee, right? Like, okay, we'll see him in 9 months and stuff. But
it's traumatic.
There's so much work. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, others are getting to do the things that you want to do. And it's got to be hard to watch from the outside. I'll give him a pass until he gets back and gets into it. Because up until this point, I've basically been impressed with how he's handled himself, and particularly during the rookie year. I mean, I thought it was rare for leadership from, a 21-year-old kid as a rookie to be acknowledged by veterans so easily and readily. And it felt real to me. So we'll see. I get what you're saying. I think I can see how those would seem red flag-ish, but I'll give him a pass.
It's weird because he seems to have a passion, no question about it, on the sideline. You know what I mean? He seems to be a leader in so many different ways. So it's just a weird package.
Well, I mean, it's weird too, because now it's like that if there's a little saltiness there, it's at a time when he's not playing, and that you know, what impact does that have on him, on his psyche and all that? I'll do a TBD on that one.
But you're cautiously optimistic for tonight, so that's good.
Yeah, I am. And that goes against everything I know about this franchise, so I don't know what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
All right, Barry. Always appreciate the time. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Barry.
Got our Monday Night Parlay coming up next, but let me tell you about Impress Technology. Roughly 300,000 people in the D.C. area work for the federal government, and those agencies have shifted many of their staff to remote work status. With a complete range of contract vehicles and proven remote work solutions from Impress and Dell Technologies, your agency can minimize risk, maximize IT efficiency, and help employees be more productive. Not sure which solution is right for you? Let's start a conversation on how Impress can help. Learn more at ImpressTechnology.com. That's I-M-P-R-E-S Technology.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hey, real quick, we need to thank the University of Maryland. They sent us some Len Bias replica jerseys.
Do you have it, the flash in front of the camera?
I'll have to grab that. Higgs
has one. Higgs has one.
He's been inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame November 21st.
Very cool.
Why did it take so long?
That already happened. They're going to be honoring him in the upcoming game against Virginia Tech, which is coming up Wednesday, December 1st.
Yes, Terps and the Hokies in College Park.
First 4,000 students in attendance will be getting the Len Bias jersey.
Hokies dropped a couple of the last few games. They lost to Memphis, and then they lost to Xavier. And of course, the Terps lost to Louisville in the championship of the Bahama Classic, whatever they're calling it down there in Atlantis. God, it's so strange to watch them play now. That tournament usually is at Atlantis.
Right.
And they just play it in a conference room.
Right, because at one point...
That's what they do. They put it in, it's a big conference room, and they just put a court down there and the hoops, and that's where they play it. And the lighting's terrible.
Yeah.
And they moved it to Bahamar, which is the newer resort down there, and it looked even smaller.
Right.
That court looked even smaller.
Well, at one point, it was raining on the court. Like, there was a leak, and they couldn't stop it.
Right.
And they had to move it to, like, I guess the practice court.
Yes, that's why they did it.
It's just a disaster.
It's every time it is. It's so strange to watch those tournaments.
Would you ever stay at the Bahamar?
Yeah, I know you've been now very nicer loyal to the than Atlantis. The other, or
it's newer and yeah, it's nice.
Does it have the same water park features?
Yep, it's probably not as big.
Acreage wise,
it's not as big, but they've added a lot of that stuff. Yeah, it's got a lot of the water slides now.
So kids would like
water.
It.
Oh yeah, it's money. Got some good restaurants in there, too.
But you haven't stayed there yet.
I bet it's pricey.
I have not stayed there. I've had dinner there, and I've played at the casino.
I bet it's high dollar. I bet it's not cheap.
Ain't cheap. Well, sure, I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, I kind of ride Mooney's coattails because he gets me casino rates on
if
the
you
rooms.
Have a sugar daddy, yeah, it's cheaper.
He is a sugar daddy, yeah. No doubt. But he, but if I had no connections,
right.
Oh, per night, not cheap.
Right. Who's your bigger sugar daddy? Would it be Mooney or Carl?
Carl. Come on, man. Carl.
Probably
Carl. Buys a private jet.
Carl rents the jets.
Whatever happened to the whale?
I haven't talked to the whale.
Harpooned?
I haven't talked to the whale.
Your...
I think the whale sunk.
I have no idea where the whale is.
I think he drowned.
You've just had a lot of sugar daddies over the years.
Yep. Yeah. The whale, yeah, he got into some stuff. Put it that
yeah. way. All right, speaking of some stuff, time for our Monday night parlay. We put our heads together, try and come up with the big fat winning parlay.
Well, again, this is the same game parlay icon with in FanDuel.
It is.
And same game parlays are awesome. Now, six gamers, tough to hit. It's hard to hit two. It's hard to hit two game same game parlay bets.
It is.
But we're going to do six. So we can spin the wheel and figure out who's going to Ricky Henderson us. And I think we're going to start out with Valdez.
All right, Rick Valdez.
I'm going with an anytime touchdown score, and I'm going to select DeAndre Carter.
Ooh.
Well, the odds on that have to be pretty long.
That's actually
right?
a juicy
he's scored
one.
A lot of
I actually do like that.
Hold
I didn't
on.
Even
Where
see
is
that
it?
One.
Where
Plus
is that?
280.
Plus 280?
Yes. Yeah. Anytime touchdown.
I actually like that one. Does he have three straight?
There he is.
I believe so.
Yeah. Now, he's not going to surprise anybody because you know the coaches will be pointing that out. Yeah. But he's found a way to be open in crunch time, Cakes.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Valdez is in.
Damn it.
I'll have all these picks at Junks Radio on Twitter. It'll be up.
I don't believe that if he scored on a punt return.
That would count?
That would count. I think
even an anytime touchdown,
that
it
would,
should
that
count.
That would definitely count.
That's an anytime touchdown.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, all right. I was just looking at the disclaimer. It says the winner's anybody who carries or receives the ball in the end zone. All right, so you would carry it.
Yep.
Okay.
Who's
that,
up?
That would be a joke if that didn't count.
That's not going to happen.
Spin the wheel.
I think you already did. Yeah, Jason just has to assign somebody.
Mr. Bickle.
There you
all
go.
All right, I hate to do this because I don't think there's going to be a million touchdowns, but so I just want to keep us in the game.
You're going to do an anytime touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to do an anytime touchdown, too. I just want to keep us in the game. Don't want to get crazy. Let's go with the very simple Antonio Gibson plus 115.
Okay.
All right. Two touchdowns already for Washington.
I know.
Right
I know.
There.
Believe
by the
me.
Way, it's had 43 totes of the rock in the last two games.
Starting to feed him.
Yeah.
All right.
You better not fumble.
Gibby plus 115 on anytime.
If he fumbles, I'm going to lose my mind on Twitter tonight.
Sure you will.
It's FYI.
All right. So he had two against
Facebook
Tampa.
Facebook Live before. 7 o'clock. Reminder. It's your reminder.
Set my dumb alarm.
All right. I guess I will kind of piggyback that next. Uh-oh. And I'm going to go Gibby over 67.5 rushing yards. They've given him the ball 43 times the last two games, and he got 60 and 90 or 64 and 90 maybe. So he's getting to that number pretty much when they give him the ball, and I think they're going to give it to him again. You know, if he gets 8 to 10 to 12 carries, he's not going to get there. But I think they're going to give it to him at least 17, 18 times, maybe in the 20s.
Going to get a healthy workload.
I think so. I think they will.
So you have over 67.5?
Over 67.5 rushing yards. We talked about the Seahawks' rush defense is ranked 23rd, so they're giving up yards on the ground. I think that I think Scott Turner will give them the ball.
All right. Spin the wheel.
67.5.
Spin it.
All right, who are we going to next? We'll go to Drabster.
All right. Well, I think you guys, first off, are missing a play with McKissick and his receiving yards because Seattle cannot stop a screen pass for the life of them. But I'm not going to make a Washington pick because that would be insulting to my boys.
Yeah, you're
so,
12.
The team total for the Seahawks is 23.5, but their second half total points is 10.5. I like the edge there, and I think the Seahawks are probably going to be looking to score some points late. So Seahawks over 10.5 second half points. It's at the very bottom of the same game parlay tab.
Kind of like it. Kind of right. Feeling that.
There it is.
Because I am picking Seattle to win tonight.
All right, over 10.5.
You're going to make me bet
on
Not
on the parlay, though, right?
Not on the parlay.
Okay. This is, and by the way, this is your, like, you have a real strong tingle.
Official full-on tingle play. Seattle wins.
Ooh.
You know what to do.
That's just my vibe. That's what I'm going
but that's
with.
Not in the parlay.
No, not in the parlay.
All right. You're going to force me to bet on Washington.
Yeah, probably will.
Damn it.
What is your parlay pick?
I have Tyler Lockett over the 63.5 receiving yards prop at -113. Now, look, he's a boom or bust guy. And admittedly, he's got more busts on his resume than booms this year, but his booms are big. 100, 178, 142, 115. And two of the busts, by the way, are with Geno Smith at the helm. Now, one of the booms is with Geno at the helm, but I'm going to keep that on the down low. Tyler Lockett, over 63.5 receiving yards tonight.
Okay. So should we fade both of those?
Sure, if you want.
Should we fade both of those?
Do
I guess
what
I
you
have
will.
To. I guess I just have to.
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't just take Seattle as the emotional hedge play. Don't worry about any other play. Just go emotional hedge, Seattle.
Maybe I'll do that.
You know
but
how
then,
jacked you're going to be if they've won three straight coming in here tomorrow at 5-6?
I know. It's too good to be true. That's not going to happen.
It's the NFL. I mean, come on.
All right, is everybody
right.
picked?
It's not
I have not made the pick.
Seattle's going to win.
Oh, yeah. Got one more. It's John Paul Flamack.
I'm going to take the Washington football team plus a point. I think they win tonight. Mm. Feel even better because Cake's like Seattle.
I am right? on Seattle.
Man,
Washington
got,
plus one.
We've got 5 out of 6 pro Washington plays.
I'm gonna see it.
A lot of eggs in that Washington.
All right,
basket.
See what it is. I'm gonna real quick go to
we've
Anna.
We've tried every formula. What does $6 win us?
Put all
three,
my eggs in the basket.
$337.
Oh, that's kind of nubs.
That's just a nubs.
I picked a +115, but
yeah, I mean they're all
my fault.
They're all right in there. -113, -115, -110.
All right, let's go to Anna in Annapolis. Shocker, Anna's been to Bahamar or whatever it's called.
Thirsty Anna.
Anna, how are you?
Good morning, boys.
What's up?
So Bahamar is like way better than Atlantis at this point. Atlantis is looking pretty tired last time we were there. Mm-hmm. So Bahamar has an SLS. So SLS is the same family as like the Delano, SLS South Beach. It's an amazing vibe. It's super ridiculous. It's where we took a whole bunch of our friends for my 40th birthday, right before COVID.
What yeah. about like the sort of like young, you know how they have all the
I will
water
say this,
slides?
The sports book is nubby compared to
Atlantis.
It is.
The sports
is
book
yeah,
is.
Probably.
Yeah. They nubbed it.
It's small. It's poopy.
Yeah, but what about like, they have all the water activities?
So that's something new. So that was it's something new. They just finished. So all right. the same sort of like Atlantis, like water stuff that you want, mm-hmm. they have all of that. But it's just the pools are great. They do the day like pool club. When we were there, like Little John was there, like hanging out by the pool, Dua Lipa, before she became like Dua Lipa.
Right.
And
so hot.
Who's the guy that married Kim Kardashian? The basketball player. He was there.
Chris Humphries.
Chris Humphries.
Yeah,
right.
Chris Humphries is hanging out.
Former wizard. I always remember him as a wiz.
He was a wizard.
Yes. Yeah. Right, so Anna, that is like, that's the spot now.
All right. Well, Anna would know. She gets
would.
Around.
What's all it right. like being filthy rich? It
she gets
like
around. Sounds right.
I mean, she gets around the fancy places.
She does, yes.
Yeah. yeah. All right. Thank
yeah,
you,
you,
Anna.
You got to make it worthwhile. All right. Thanks, boys. Good luck tonight.
Can we wear sweatpants poolside? Is that accepted? Probably frowned upon.
Right. Wear your water shoes.
By the way, definitely I can
those.
Smell
what
B. Mitch's gumbo. B. Mitch brought gumbo. Oh.
And everyone's just going crazy.
Well, it smells
but, like,
ridiculously good.
All the other stations.
How much did he bring in?
It's a huge pot. Oh, huge pot.
I'm going to have
B. Mitch
some.
Can cook.
Yeah, no, I know.
It smells so good.
I don't like people's home cookings, but I'm going to like B. Mitch's.
All right, we got to get out of here. 7 o'clock for our Facebook Live. B. Mitch and Finley next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.